So it's no secret for those of you that know me that I've been a runner for a long time. And I've been wanting to do a running-themed sermon series for a long time, many, many years. And I thought, there's no more perfect time to do that than during the Olympic season. I don't know how many of you have been tracking with the Olympics, but that's kind of the heart behind why we chose this time to do that. And so really what we've been doing over the last 4 weeks, this is week four now, is we've been talking about this idea that we have been called, each of us, to run a spiritual race. It is a very specific race. It is a race of faith. It is a race to become more like Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our King. That's what every one of us, that's what our purpose is in this life, to run that race. And Scripture over and over again uses this illustration, this analogy of running to equate to the spiritual life. And so that's what we've been doing the last couple of weeks. We've touched on a whole bunch of different ideas so far in this series already. First and foremost, you know, figuring out what that race actually is and what we are to be motivated by, right? If you don't have that intrinsic motivation to run the race, you're going to fail. You're going to quit very quickly, right? Our motivation is Jesus Christ, the one who set the ultimate example of what it looks like to run the race of faith. He is the one who pushes us, who challenges us, right? He is our coach. We cling to him. We look to him, and it is our desire. We're striving daily to become more like him, right? We also talked about the fact that if we don't train well, if we don't, you know, have discipline in our training, that the motivation, right, it's the discipline that keeps us moving and going and moving forward on the days when we don't really feel like it. Right, that training is so essential, it's so important. And then last week, we talked about rest. As important as it is to train hard, we have to rest hard too. If we are not resting, not only on a weekly basis, but I believe on a daily basis, if we aren't resting in Christ and allowing him to carry our burdens through this race, we're going to succumb to the weight and the pressure that this life and this world often throws on top of us. And so that brings us to week four here. I'm excited about what we're going to dive into today. I believe this is a message that many of us are going to be able to relate to in a big way. Even if you are not a runner, even if you're not an athlete and into working out and all of that, I believe this is going to resonate with a lot of people. Now, there's three different types of races that I've experienced in my life. Right, the first one, and this kind of goes with the training as well, three different types of races, three different types of the way that training can go. Number one is that there is the perfect race. And this is the most rare race. This like almost never happens. This is when all of the training preparation that you're putting in to get ready for the race goes perfectly. There's no injuries, there's no setbacks. There's no issues at all. Everything just goes according to plan. And then you get in the race and the race just goes unbelievably well. Like it almost feels like you weren't running at all. Like the wind was just behind you the entire time, pushing you to the finish line. Every once in a while, it's rare, right? But there's a race like that. I'll have a stretch of training in a race that just goes perfectly. Super rare though, right? Second kind of race is the complete opposite of that. That's the kind of race where nothing goes well, where you are training and every other day it feels like there's a setback. You just get injured over and over and over again. Maybe there's distractions, work, life, keep you from actually getting out and doing the training that you need to do, right? And when it comes time for the race, you step up to the line, you go to run, and you don't even finish because you are so unprepared. I think that type of race, honestly, is pretty rare as well, where nothing goes well. More often than not, the type of race and the type of training that I have experienced is somewhere in the middle. Oftentimes, I start out with just great motivation, great desire. I'm training well. Everything's going well. And all of a sudden, I get that little tweak in my calf, and it sets me back a week. And I'm frustrated and I'm disappointed and I'm like, I just lost a whole week of training. But I get back out there, I let it heal, and I start to run again. And I start training and things are going well again, and then maybe it's a hip issue. And the older you get, then maybe it's a back issue. and something else, right? Like little nagging injuries just keep popping up, or it's a family vacation and I went away and I didn't get to train as well as I would have liked to for that week, right? But when I step up to the line and I go to run the race, I feel pretty well prepared. There have been setbacks, there have been issues, and I take off and I start running. And a lot of times, here's what happens to me. Most races that I have ever run, if you've ever run races before, you start off feeling great. Everything's going well. And somewhere in the middle, you start to feel the pain. It starts to hurt, right? Maybe one of those little injuries feels like it's going to creep back up and get you right in the middle of the race. Maybe there's even a point where you think, I'm not going to be able to hold this pace. I can't sustain this. I'm going to have to slow to a crawl, right? And sometimes that even happens. But for me, what happens more often than not is I feel that pain, whatever that pain point is, and I fight through it. And it might slow me down for a second, but I battle back. And I get to the finish line and I can be proud of how I finished. Right? In the middle of the race, sometimes in the middle of our training, there are often setbacks. This is just a part of running the race. This is a part of life. And in the exact same way, in the spiritual life, and this is what I want to talk about today, there are going to be setbacks. It is a guarantee. I don't care who you are. If you run the race of faith long enough, there are going to be not only minor setbacks, there's going to be major, major setbacks. The question is, are we going to come back from those setbacks? And that's what I want to talk about today. Because when we run the race of faith, there are going to be times when we have to come back from a setback. What does that look like? How do we do that? Now, there are lots of different types of setbacks comebacks. I've seen so many different great comebacks in my life. One of my favorite types of comebacks is the verbal comeback. Do you know what I'm talking about? One time I heard this story about Winston Churchill and a woman who really just despised him. And if you know anything about Winston Churchill, he was a brilliant man. He was very witty. And one time, this woman came up to Winston Churchill, and she looked him in the eye, and she said, if I was your wife, I would poison your coffee. That's pretty strong, right? Winston Churchill looked at this woman and said, if I was your husband, I would drink it. That's a good comeback right there. That's a really good comeback. I love a good comeback. Don't we all? We love a good comeback, and we love a good comeback story. Probably the best comeback that I have ever seen happened in 2006, and it was in a race for the Big Ten Championship, the indoor championship for the 600-meter run. A woman by the name of Heather Dornadin, who ran for the University of Minnesota, was the favorite. She had been second place the year before. Everybody knew she was the favorite. She was going to win, right? And so the race takes off. And you can go to YouTube. I encourage you. Go look this race up. It's incredible. It's inspiring watching this race. She takes off and she begins to run. Gets through the first 200 meters. It's only 600 meters. Indoor tracks are 200 meters long. I'm educating you now a little bit on some running stuff, all right? 200 meter indoor track. She runs one lap. She's in first place. She's looking good. She runs almost a full extra 200 meters to get to the 400 meter mark. And right before they hit 200 meters to go, someone from behind clipped her. Feet went together, and I mean, she face planted so hard. I mean, it was like turf was coming off the track. And in that moment, you could hear the announcers. They're watching, and they're just like, oh, like that's it. She's done. There's no possible way. There's only 200 meters left. In a race that short, 200 meters is like nothing. She was probably, by the time she got up, she was 15, 20 meters behind with 200 meters to go. And yet Heather Dornadin did not quit. She didn't even get up and just like casually jog to the finish line and think, okay, I'll just finish. No, she got up and she started sprinting with everything that she had. And at first it was like, there's no possible way. There's no way she can catch up. 50 meters, 100 meters, 150 meters. The announcers are starting to go crazy. This could happen. Look at her go. Look at Dornadin. And all of a sudden she crosses the finish line and she won. It was unbelievable. And the thing that I am reminded of as I watch that is that she was face down on the ground. I mean, she went down hard. But she got up even faster than she went down. That's what was inspiring to me as I watched that. She went down and she popped right back up, and she did not allow that setback to keep her from experiencing an unbelievable comeback. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at. Maybe in your spiritual life, maybe in your faith journey today, you have experienced some setbacks. Maybe you are in the middle of one right now, right where you are sitting, and you need a comeback. And maybe you just don't know how. And today, this is what I want to talk about. There is no setback that God cannot turn into a comeback if we'll allow him. There isn't. There is no setback. Let me say that again. And if you have something to write with today, I encourage you to take some notes. There is no setback that God cannot turn into a comeback if you will allow him to. And so we're going to look at some scripture today. We're going to dive into a passage found in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. If you have a Bible today, I encourage you, open up with us there. If you're watching online, grab a Bible. We will have the words up on the screen if you don't. But let's talk about what it looks like today to come back from a setback. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm looking around this room, in a room this size, I know somebody needs to hear this message today. Somebody needs to be encouraged by this. Now, just for some context, before we dig into this, all right, we need to understand the importance of who is writing this passage of scripture. All right, now many of you know that much of the New Testament was written by this guy by the name of Paul. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He had this unbelievable encounter with Jesus where he was blinded. He was persecuting Christians. And all of a sudden, he meets Jesus on this road to Damascus, it's called. And his whole life is changed. And from that point forward, he begins to run a new race. He begins to run a different race than he was running before. It is a race to tell as many people about Jesus as he can and to become as much like Jesus as he possibly can. But along the way, this is what's so fascinating to me about Paul. You'd think like Paul, the spiritual giant, right? This guy that Jesus himself literally went in front of. He saw him with his own eyes and had this encounter with him, that everything would have just been so easy in Paul's race, right? Mm-mm. Paul faced maybe more opposition than just about anybody on the planet, probably other than Jesus Christ himself when he was on this earth. He faced setback after setback after setback, shipwrecked one time, right? One time multiple times he was thrown in prison, shackled there. He was, people were stabbing him in the back, left and right, people that he thought were his friends. Over and over and over again, Paul experiences these setbacks. And so when he's writing this letter to the Philippian church, he's actually writing it from prison. He's in chains. And I think that perspective is so powerful, because this isn't a man who's got everything going well for him right now. This is a guy who is in the midst of what most of us would look at and say is an unbelievable setback. And yet he wants the Philippian church to understand and know that there is a different kind of way to run. There is a different kind of way, a different kind of perspective, if you will, to have. And so that's why he's writing this to the Philippian church. He knows they're experiencing some setbacks. He knows that they're going through some really difficult things in their race, and he wants to encourage them. And so that's where we're going to pick this up today. In verse 12, Philippians chapter 3, this is what he begins with. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." He says, "Brothers and sisters, Philippian church, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." Now I want to stop right there for a second, and let's break this down. He begins by saying, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal." Right? What is all this? All this is what he's talking about. My goal is to become more like Christ. And so he says, "Not that I have already obtained it. I'm striving, I'm running, I'm giving it everything I got in this race of faith, but I'm not there yet. I'm not at the finish line yet. I have not become all that I know I have been created to be in Jesus Christ." That's what he's saying. I have not arrived at my goal yet. Right? And he wants the Philippian church to know this. And I believe he wants us still. God's word is so powerful. This was written 2,000 years ago almost. And it's still so relevant and practical for us today. He wants us to understand this. He has not arrived. He has not obtained it yet. He has not taken hold of it, right? He stresses it twice. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Right? He starts with that. And then he stresses it again. He says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He says it twice. That means it's important. That means he really wants them to grab hold of this. But, and I love this. He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not there yet, right? But I'm not settling for where I am. I refuse to settle. I have had some setbacks in my life. I am literally sitting in a prison cell right now. But it's not going to stop me from continuing to run this race of faith. I'm going to press on, he says, toward that goal of becoming like Christ Jesus, the one who took hold of me, he says. Jesus came, he resurrected me, he challenged me, he set me on this mission. And I'm not going to stop until I reach the finish line. Guys, it would have been so easy. Come on. I want you to put yourself in his place for a second. How easy would it have been for him to just throw in the towel in that moment? I mean, honestly, for two reasons. If it's me, right? Paul wrote most of the New Testament. This guy is like the spiritual giant of spiritual giants. He has started more churches, reached more people than any of us probably in this room will ever dream of. And so on the one hand, he could have easily thrown in the towel and just been like, you know what? I've done enough. I've run the race. I'm bowing out. It's time for me to quit. He didn't do that. He said, no, I continue to strive. I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus called me to. And on the flip side of that, he could have said, this is just unbelievable, God. How could you do this to me? I mean, I've been doing everything you asked me to do. I've been running as hard as I can run, and this is how you do me? You put me in this prison cell? I could be out there reaching more people, and this is where I am? And instead, Paul has this incredible, incredible perspective. And I think he wants us to grab hold of it today, too. He goes on. This is what he says. This is his perspective. But one thing I do. One thing I do. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I'll stop there again for a second. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The best runners, the best athletes in the world understand this, that you have to have a short memory. What do I mean when I say that? Right? It means that what happened in the past is in the past. And in order to do anything productive, in order to make progress going forward, we've got to let what happened in the past go. It's in the past, right? Think of it this way, right? When you are successful, it would be very easy. I'll use Tom Brady as an example, okay? Now, love him or hate him. That's not the issue today. Love or hate Tom Brady. One thing is for certain with Tom Brady that you know about him. That guy has never, ever, ever rested on what he did in the past, has he? No, the guy's almost 45 years old and he is still grinding every day to accomplish what he believes is his mission in life, which is to win Super Bowls, right? And he's done a pretty darn good job of it. He's won 7 of them, right? And he didn't win 7 Super Bowls by being okay with winning 3 or 4 or even 6. No, the mentality there is, I'm not finished yet. Yeah, I've done some great stuff in the past. In fact, everybody's looking at me and saying, I'm the GOAT. I'm the greatest football player who's ever lived. I might even be the greatest team athlete who's ever lived, but he's not satisfied because there's more to be done. He has a short memory. The second the Super Bowl is over, you know what Tom Brady is thinking and saying? When are we starting camp? When are we starting training for the next Super Bowl? Right? Because he's got a short memory. Now, it can work that way, and I think this is what Paul is challenging us, right? Don't rest on what you've already done. It's great, but there's more to be done. But what I really want to key on today is the flip side of that, which is what happens when we hit a really rough patch, when we maybe get injured, and it's a debilitating injury. I'll use another football illustration. This guy by the name of Alex Smith, a few years ago, playing quarterback, and he broke his leg. And it was a really bad break, one of those compound fracture type of breaks. And he literally almost lost his life. They almost had to amputate his leg. And Alex Smith could have been like, you know what? I guess that's it. I guess I'm done. I guess I can't play anymore. But what did he do? He went to rehab and he worked hard and he kept fighting and he kept striving. And he said, you know what? Even though that was a really horrible thing, and even though it's kind of scary to get back in the game, I'm going back in the game. And he did. He worked hard and he ended up playing quarterback again for several seasons in the NFL before he retired. Right, so I believe what Paul is looking at us and saying is this: listen, when failure and setback happen, you have to forget that as well. As difficult as that is, and I know, guys, today I know some of you have experienced some unbelievable setback. Some of you have experienced some really painful things, some hurtful things, things that you've done and have been, the reason has been because of you, and things that other people have done to you. Maybe it's a health crisis, something that your body has been going through. Maybe it's just a spiritual low, a spiritual darkness that you've been experiencing. We've all experienced in one way or another setbacks like that. Paul is saying if we want to run the race well, we cannot obsess over the past. We can't. We've got to begin to put our eyes forward. We've got to forget what is behind, and we've got to strain toward what is ahead. My high school coach used to say to me all the time, Justin, the race is in front of you. The race is in front of you. Stop looking back. That's not where the race is. The finish line is out there. The goal is to get across the finish line first. Why do you keep looking around? Why do you keep looking back? You put all of your focus, all of your energy toward what's ahead. This is Paul's challenge to the Philippian church. I believe it's the challenge that he's looking at us and saying today. A runner who is always looking back, right? You're liable to trip, to fall, right? If you're looking back, you don't know what's in front of you. What if somebody cuts in front of you all of a sudden and you're not ready for it? The runner who's looking back is distracted. They're not paying attention to the goal. They're not moving forward. And so I want you to write this down today, guys. I so believe this in my own life, and I believe it for many of us, that one of the greatest tragedies of the spiritual life is when we allow the setbacks of our past to set back our future. Think about that with me for just a moment. How many of us, even if it was just for a short time, allowed some setbacks that were going on in our life to actually set back the future? Right? Maybe it's some person who's been renting space in your head because they did something to you. They harmed you in some way. And you're not moving forward because of what they did. What you're allowing to happen is that setback that's in the past that cannot be changed to jack up your future. And God does not want that for you. He does not want that for you. And so we can't allow that to happen in our spiritual lives. It will derail us from running the race well. Are there going to be setbacks? Yes. We cannot dwell on the setbacks. This is exactly what Satan wants. When you really get right down to it, we have an enemy. His name is Satan. He comes to kill and steal and destroy. He does not want us to run the race of faith well in any way, shape, or form. And so what Satan, one of his greatest tactics is to take failures, is to take setbacks, to take pain and hurt and suffering and things that have not gone well, and to try to get us to dwell on those things. I love this verse found in Galatians 5:7-8. This is Paul again. He loves the running analogies. That's why I love Paul so much. He says, you were running a good race. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion, he says, it does not come from the one who calls you. Now, in ancient Greece In those ancient times, back when this was being written, right, during the Olympic Games, and we talked about the Isthmian Games, a track did not look the same as it looks now. It actually was more rectangular, and on each corner of the track, there were these poles, and the runners had to go around those poles, and if you didn't go around it, you got disqualified. And so there was like this constant mad dash to get to that pole first. You wanted to be on the inside of that pole, right? Because if you got to swing wide, if you got to go to the outside, you're losing lots of precious time. You're not winning the race, right? And so oftentimes one of the strategies of some runners would be to sprint out in front, cut off the runner that was in the lead, and keep them from getting to that pole first, right? And so there's this imagery. The Philippians would have understood this so well, of a runner cutting in, cutting off another runner. And when that happens, can I just tell you, as a runner, there's something really powerful to be said about rhythm. When you get in a rhythm, right, it's a really good thing. And every time your rhythm is broken, you got to restart again. You got to shuffle your feet. You got to slow down almost to a stop. It really jacks up your race. The better you can get in rhythm, the faster you are going to run. And so the analogy, the illustration that Paul is using here is this. Who cut in on you? Who jumped in front of you? What happened in your life to derail you, to slow you down? And he says this. I love this. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? What is it that happened in your life that's causing you to question and doubt the truth of God? What is it in your life? Maybe it's a person in your life who's hurt you, right? And you're going, well, if God's real, why would he allow this to happen to me? Maybe it's a health crisis. Maybe it's some sin in our lives, right? Because we have sin. It's a choice that we continue to make over and over again, and it's just messing with our race. It's hurting us, right? It's keeping us from obeying the truth. And I love this too. He says, that kind of persuasion, it does not come from the one who calls you. That's the enemy. That's some heckler in the stands. It's not your coach. It's not Jesus. It's not our amazing God speaking those lies into our life, telling us we're not good enough or you'll never come back from this. Lies. Our God, our Heavenly Father, wants nothing but good things for our life. Regardless of the bad things that have happened, he wants us to make a comeback. He wants us to forget the past. He wants us to strain toward what is ahead. The bottom line is, the enemy, he wants you dwelling. He wants you down and out. Because he knows that if he can get you dwelling on what's going on in your past, he can continue to mess up your future. And I'll tell you this, as your pastor, man, I do not want that for you. I want you to move beyond that. I believe your Heavenly Father wants you to move beyond that. The bottom line is, it is impossible, guys, to make a comeback while we are still focusing on our setback. It's impossible. We cannot make a full comeback back into the spiritual race if we have gotten derailed, if we have gotten cut in on and cut off, if we are not focusing on the future. We got to forget the setback. And so instead of focusing on what's behind, this is what Paul says. This is what we need to do. This is the practical application today. This is what he says. Forgetting what is behind, right? And straining toward what is ahead, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Strain towards what is ahead, right? We've talked about forgetting what is behind, but what does it mean to strain toward what is ahead? I love this Greek word, epekteno. It means to stretch. It means to stretch to the point of like you are stretching every muscle, every fiber of your body towards crossing that finish line. I don't know how many of you have been watching any of the Olympics. If you haven't, you should. I encourage you to. It's amazing watching some of these athletes and the effort that they put into getting to that finish line. And if you watch any race, what you will see is as those athletes come down that final stretch, whether it's 100 meters or a marathon, They are straining with every muscle, every fiber of their being, stretching for that finish line. And as they get to the finish line, what do? They don't kind of casually cross the line, do they? No, they reach and they stretch and they try to get their chest across that finish line so that they can get there first, so that they can run the fastest possible time that they can run. Paul says, in the same way, we must strain with everything we've got towards the finish. All of our effort, all of our energy being put towards that ultimate prize, towards that ultimate goal. We've got to have spiritual blinders on, in a way, right? Horses, they put blinders on them when they race. Why do they do that? So that the horse isn't distracted by everything else that's going on around them. What those blinders do is they force the horse to look forward. That is your goal. Your goal is ahead of you. Your goal is not beside you. Your goal is not behind you. Your goal is in front of you. Guys, this is the only way to stop looking back. This is it. This is the answer to that. If you find yourself wanting to consistently, continually look back on your setbacks, on your failures, on the things that have happened to you, there's only one solution to that. Because our minds, our hearts, our spirits, we're wired to think, right? We're wired to put our hearts and minds on something. We're not rocks. We don't just sit without thought. So the only thing we can do is put our focus on the one thing that is actually going to bring peace and joy and purpose into our life. And that is the finish line that God has called us to. That is running the race to become more like Christ. Putting those spiritual blinders on. And he says this, I love this. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That means I do this, I run this race until the day that Jesus comes back or he calls me home. It does not stop. That's when the race ends. And so I press on in spite of all of the junk and garbage that I might go through in this life. And then finally, verse 15. He says, all of us then who are mature, he says, should take such a view of things. All of us who are mature, the mark of a mature athlete, the mark of a mature runner is the ability to have the right perspective. There are going to be setbacks. It's not about how many setbacks. It's whether or not we are willing to consistently, regularly come back from those setbacks. We cannot focus on them. And the same is true in the spiritual life. Paul is saying, grab hold, guys. Grab hold of this perspective. And no matter what setbacks you face, you will always be able to make a comeback. And that is the promise. That is the amazing promise of our God. He is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and infinity chances. He is the God of the comeback. And with him, with his power, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, there is always a chance to get up and to start running again. Right? I think back to Heather Dornadin. 15 years ago in 2006 in that 600 meter race and that face plant that she took and how she just bounced back up. That's what I want for you. But that's what our Heavenly Father wants for us. And so I know, guys, I know, again, in a room this size, many of us have experienced setbacks. For some of us, it's some sin in our life that has kept us from running well. For others, It's a person. It's a person who's hurt you, wounded you deeply. For others, maybe it is just a season of life. You've lost a job. You've experienced a health crisis. But no matter what it is, it's derailed you from running the race of faith. It's consumed your mind. It's begun to become an obsession. It's become something that you are looking back at so often that you are now messing up what's in front of you. But here's what your Heavenly Father wants you to know. I said it at the beginning and I'll say it again. There is no setback. None. Zero. That God cannot turn into a comeback if you will allow him. That's the message today. We all are capable, not on our own power, not on our own strength, but in Christ, in his power, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, maybe you're in a season where you feel like you need a comeback. If not, if it's not right now, I promise this. I don't want to be Debbie Downer today, but you are going to experience a season where you're going to have some setbacks. If you run this race of faith long enough, it will happen. And so I have one challenge today. Just one. This is it. It comes straight from God's word. Forget what is behind. Strain toward what is ahead. Isn't that beautiful? Those are the words of Paul, written 2,000 years ago to a church, to a people who were experiencing unbelievable persecution and setback. That message is just as powerful for us today. Forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. Forget. And I know it's hard. I'm not sitting here saying that it's easy. But forget whatever that thing is that has been bogging you down, that you've been obsessing about, that the enemy has been trying to get you to dwell on. And put your eyes forward. Strain. Epecteno, towards what is ahead. And this is what I promise you will begin to happen. You will begin to experience healing in that. Part of straining toward what is ahead is forgiving. Maybe yourself for some sin that you've continued to be trapped in. Maybe it's forgiving some other person. Maybe it's forgiving God because you're angry and bitter about what has happened to you in your life. But as you begin to strain toward the ultimate prize, that begins to fade away. Forget what is behind. Strain toward what is ahead. There is an amazing, amazing reward, an amazing prize to be won at the end of this race that we're running, guys. And I want everyone to grab hold of it, to take hold of it, to finish the race well. You know, if nothing else today, we have the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of us who call Jesus Lord and Savior, you want to talk about the greatest comeback that has ever been? You know how I know that he's a God of comebacks? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus pulled off the greatest comeback that has ever been. Right? He was mocked, ridiculed, spit on, beaten within an inch of his life, and then hung on a cross to die. And then he died, and all seemed lost. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And he did pull off an unbelievable comeback. He resurrected himself from the dead. That's why I follow Jesus. When you predict your own death and resurrection, and then you pull it off, that's a guy worth following. And he wants that comeback. He wants that same for you. And this is the truth today. This is my encouragement to you to reflect on this regularly, because I need this reflection regularly. He's resurrected my life. He's already done an unbelievable comeback in my life. I was dead to sin. I was on my way to hell. And I know that's not politically correct these days, but that's where I was headed. And Jesus intervened because of the comeback that he made on the cross. He allows it. He makes it possible for me to have a comeback from sin and death. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him for that. No matter what is going on in my life, I have that to cling to. And so if you don't have that today, man, that's one of the reasons we exist as a church, is for you to experience that. You might need a comeback from sin and death. It's that simple. We are all sinners. We all need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I know I've messed up, but I recognize the grace that you want to pour out on me. I recognize that you died on the cross to save me from that, and there's nothing I can do to earn it or to receive it other than to say, I believe in you and I'm gonna follow you with everything I got from this point forward. Man, if that's you today, please come and talk to us. We wanna have a conversation with you. We wanna begin to walk you through what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. But if you already have that, if you've experienced that kind of comeback in your life, guys, I know it's hard, but there should be joy every day when we remember that, when we reflect on that. As hard as this life is, we know the end of the story. We haven't gotten to the finish line yet, but we can see the finish line. We know what's been promised when we cross it. And so that's my encouragement to you today. Those of you who are in Christ, who call Jesus Lord and Savior, walk in that. Walk in that comeback. And then continue, no matter what setbacks you face every day, to strive to win the prize for which God has called you to, for which your coach, your Savior Jesus has called you to. That is my hope and prayer for us. That we'd be the type of community that would daily, yeah, we're falling and hitting our face on a regular basis, but we're popping right back up and we're continuing on that mission because we are not gonna let a setback keep us from making a comeback. Father, we thank you, we praise you that you are a God of comebacks, that you are a God who, when we're laying face down on the track or on the road of the race of life, you are swooping in around us and picking us up and helping us in the race. Jesus, I'm so thankful for the work that you did on the cross to bring me back from the brink of death. God, I pray that for anyone in this room, anyone who might be watching online, that they would experience that today. What a joy and a freedom that comes from being in relationship with you, from knowing there is nothing that can happen in our lives that would make you not love us anymore, and there is no amount of setbacks that would keep you from continuing to pull us and encourage us to come back, to get back in the race. And so I pray today, somebody needs to hear this. If there's anybody in this room who knows, they've been out of it. They've been down and out. They've been listening to the lies. That they would get back up. They would start running. They would run this race of faith. And be encouraged daily by looking to you, Jesus, as their encouragement. You did it. You did it first. You are the ultimate example, the ultimate comeback. And you say that you want to give us the power to do the same. So today, as we close this moment, God, I pray that we would just worship you. I pray that wherever our hearts and minds are at today, whatever we're wrestling with and dealing with, that Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit would meet us in this place as we close. We love you. It's in your perfect and holy and precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand? Would you